If you would, please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 25:4. I'm going to teach you something today that I think you're going to really like. We've been talking about how to work with the kingdom for weeks now, right? And we've talked about who he really is, who we really are, what he wants, and how he's leading us in this moment. Remember, we talked about authority as the ecclesia. We talked about power. We talked about blessing, and we talked about the anointing. We've been stepping through all that. Today, I want to talk to you about the path. I want to talk to you about the path. The best way to be led by the Spirit of God is to look at your life as if you're traveling on a path or a road. Okay? Now, Psalm 25:4 there. Make me know your ways, O Jehovah. Teach me your paths. So following the paths of God is it's a principle, okay? And it's not a rule. It's more of a way to live out discovery, I would say. You're going to discover as you go along. And the thing about the principle of the path is it can be leveraged. In other words, you can use its power. This thing will work for you. It's like sowing and reaping. It has cause and effect, okay? So that's pretty easy to understand. When you put something into something, you get something out of it. So this is what I'm going for. This is what this path is, the principle of the path is. Roads lead to the same place every time. Paths lead to the same place every time. There's a movie that we've all seen. Dorothy's trying to get to Oz. And the witch lady tells her, follow the yellow brick road. So Dorothy follows the yellow brick road, and lo and behold, she gets to Oz. And she didn't get to Oz because Dorothy was so special. She got to Oz because the yellow brick road led to Oz. Does that make sense to you? Amen. So just imagine this yellow brick road to a better marriage, a better relationship, better health, better financial security. Just imagine that there are roads that lead you places. How about leading you to a person you thought you'd never reconnect with, or some assignment, whatever it is? All these paths lead somewhere. Praise the Lord. So, you know, what if you could just follow a path and be led out of all the false guilt or guilt that you have? What if you could just be led out of all the shame you have? Out of all the condemnation that the enemy tries to put on you? What if you could just be led out of that? I think you just jump right on that yellow brick road and get to going. I'm not going to sing it. Praise the Lord. So I want to tell you this, church. Here's your 6-second soundbite, okay? Stop looking for solutions and start looking for the right path. It's a much easier way to go. Stop looking for the solution and look for the right path. Amen. Now, you already have the answer to the solution. You already have the answer to overcome the circumstance. His name is Jesus. He is the answer to all things, and he will give you the plan. But the easiest way to get on the plan is to get on the path. Amen. And you're going to go much easier. It's a much easier way to look at things. So you need to get over on the path. Now, to get from where you don't want to be to where you want to be, it requires two things: time and change of direction. Time and change of direction. See, you don't have problems you need to fix. You have directions that you need to change. It's time to begin looking in the right direction. Amen. So that it may surprise you, church. It may surprise some people, maybe not so many of you, but it may surprise a lot of people that directions, not good intentions, not hopes, not dreams, not prayers, beliefs, intellect, or education determines your destination. They all factor in. But you got to be on the right path to get there. You know, and I know it's really tempting to believe that our good intentions, our aspirations and dreams somehow have the ability to bring a good end to decisions that we're making on a daily basis, but it really isn't. Really isn't the case. At the end of the day, the path that you're on is going to determine the outcome. Simply put, you and I are going to win or lose by the paths we take. We have to take the right path. This is how the Bible puts it, a lot of Proverbs. I'll read you some more scriptures in a moment. You know, you've seen, have you seen influential people? And they're at the height of their career or doing so well, and we see them just fall. And we say this, man, they were doing so great, and then suddenly they just fell off. I'm going to tell you, there was no suddenly to it. It was not suddenly. They somewhere along the way took an exit. They got off the path, and suddenly this thing overtook them. Suddenly, not suddenly, they're down. So, it's very easy to get off if you don't stay on the right path. Now, generally speaking, we don't abandon the clearly marked path because we're looking for trouble, right? There's just something about the alternate route that is powerfully appealing. They promise shortcuts. More directions, oftentimes pleasurable routes to wherever we're trying to go. Well, this way seems like it would just be better if I just did it this way. Think about the times that you've just allowed a powerful emotional appeal turn your head or grab your attention. You thought, oh yeah, this will be the way to go. You know, those things like 0% financing and no money down. And she makes me feel like I used to feel, right? And, but he's rich. And then there's this one. That's the way business is done around here. Mm-hmm. No payments for 12 months. All very appealing. But you take paths that lead you to places that you don't want to go. Amen. And then you're left with the consequence. You stepped onto a path, stepped off the path that you, and you left it, and you're going on the wrong way, and then you pay for it. And everybody can look straight ahead because we've all done it. Amen? Glory to God. So you don't have problems. Once again, you don't have problems you need to fix. You have directions you need to change. And when it comes to decision making, really, we lean hard into our intentions and pay very little attention to the direction of the path that we've chosen. And even smart people do that. They come to believe that their intentions are good. And so as long as your heart is right, the Lord will be with you. Because my heart was right. Well, the Lord is with you. But you could still be on the wrong path, and you know you're going to go the wrong way. I mean, he loves you, but you can't say that he's putting his stamp of approval on it. Come on, be honest. He wants you on the right path. He wants you in the right assignment. He wants you in the right house with the right health at the right church at the right time in the right country, doing the right thing, saying the right thing, doing what's right, doing it right because it's right. Right. That's good. Directions determine destination. Now, here's the good news. Psalm 16:11 says, "You shall show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Praise the Lord. So if you got to take a path, it's a good thing to know that God's going to show you the path of life. He's already the answer. He's already going to do it. The word says he'll do it. See, church, God has a covenant with you. He's going to show you the way. You just have to be led down the right way. God's going to do whatever it takes. You heard the songs this morning. They're all about knocking the wall down, climbing over the wall, getting to you, blessing you. This is the perfect songs for this morning. Because that's how God is. God is a covenant-keeping God, and he is full of hesed. He's knocking at the door, trying to get in, trying to get to you. I love you. I love you. Let me help you. Let me do this for you. Let me get this word. Let me get this finance to you. Let me do it. The thing with man is you do have to let God, you have to receive. You basically have two choices when you're headed down these paths. And the first one is you have to choose to listen so you can hear. Right? All the heads went down and the pen started writing on that one. Look, it looked real fun. All of you went, boom. You have to choose to listen so you can hear. Well, you know, I just feel like I'll just go along. Well, you can just go along, but you could end up on the wrong path. The second thing is you have to choose to go where he says to go after you hear it. I'm going to say a few things about that. Church, if you start discovering these little subtle, sometimes even not so subtle discrepancies between intent and lifestyle, it'll change your life. Ronnie and I were talking about that this morning. If you'll just have a look at it, if you just stop and pay attention to them. See, we need to break the habit of drawing a circle around an individual decision and events dismissing them as isolated occurrences. So I'm going to do this, but this won't affect my tomorrow. I'll just draw a circle around it. It won't affect my tomorrow. But it does affect your tomorrow. It does affect your tomorrow. Amen. So there are steps. There are steps that lead somewhere. Interesting. Deb was psalming that out of the spirit realm. He was psalming about going up the stairs, taking the steps up the stairs. I think God's trying to tell us something. Just understand that today and tomorrow are connected. In the book of Proverbs, there's the term prudent. Listen to this scripture. And prudent would be a wise person, okay? It says, a prudent man seeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and they suffer for it. So what are we looking at here? Well, prudent people look down the road. They're going to look down the road as far as possible in every direction. They understand that today's decisions will influence tomorrow. They're going to have an impact on tomorrow. So they anticipate the future and they choose accordingly. You anticipate. Prudent people, they draw a wealth of data. They get some data from the Word of God, from the Spirit of God. Not emotional thinking. Emotions are involved in your decision making, but they're down the line. They shouldn't be the first thing. And, you know, you come away from, you don't make a decision because of fear. You don't make decisions because of lust. You make decisions out of what the Word of God is telling you, what the Spirit of God is telling you. There is a certain value to experience, but it is a hard teacher. It's a very hard teacher. You don't have to learn by experience. You can learn by the Word of God, and it'll keep you from experiencing some really horrible places. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, you know, I've had a lot of experience in this field. Well, that may not be what the Holy Ghost is saying today. I always say, you know, you don't want to minister to someone out of your experience. You want to minister to someone out of what Holy Spirit is saying in that moment. Amen. Well, I've been a preacher. I've been a pastor for 20, well, I've been a pastor a long time, 30 years or something like that. So I have all this experience. That doesn't do any good if it doesn't help the person. They need to know what Holy Spirit is saying. What is Holy Spirit saying to that person? I always do this. People look at me, Pastor, I need some help. I need to know what's going on. I'm smiling at them, and on the inside I'm saying, Holy Spirit, you got to tell me what to say because you know best. And that's the way we need to minister to people. And not, well, you know, now he may tell you, remember what you did, and then you use it. Yeah. But you need to ask him. Amen. Well, that was free. Praise the Lord. So, I'm not talking about making decisions based on emotions or intellect. I'm talking about being Spirit-led. Amen. That's what you want to be, is Spirit-led. Live as if your life is connected. Every time you spend money you don't have, you act as if today is not connected to tomorrow. And praise the Lord, a few people actually like that. Every time you lie to your spouse, you act like you're not connected. It's not connected to the next day. Once again, I'm going to say this one more time. We don't make decisions today as if today is isolated from tomorrow. I'm sure if my dad had to do it over, my parents have been gone since I was 32 years old. My dad died of cancer. I'm sure if he would have known that 3 packs of Pall Malls a day would have affected his body, he wouldn't have done it. I know that if I had known what I know now, I probably wouldn't have made a lot of choices that I made. Amen. But sometimes people follow make the wrong choices, thinking it's not going to affect them the next day. I know you don't want to hear this, but the donut today. Okay, that's all I'm going to say. Because I like them too, but you know, I'm just talking to all of us. Praise the Lord. Now, so I'm not intending for this to be sin conscious, church. There's a grace to deliver. But what about today starting to think about following a path? Which way does the Lord want me to go? What does he want me to do with my life? Because if we tap into the voice of the wisdom of the Lord, then we can avoid a lot of trouble. We can go around some things. There's some days the Lord has told you, don't go that way. And you're like, Lord, I'm in a hurry. I need to go the other way. But you knew on the inside, you were not supposed to go that way. Amen. Could save your life. Praise God. Y'all getting anything out of this? Now that verse right there, let's talk about this here for just a minute. The verse there that we saw said the simple. The simple are the naive. That's the naive person. And it said the naive on that scripture. You remember the scripture I just read you? It goes bad for them. So with the simple, there's no connection between today and tomorrow. If they see danger, they keep going. They just live as if everything's disconnected. And if you ask them if they thought that today's choices affect tomorrow's, they're going to say, well, yes. Oh, yes, I believe today's choices will affect tomorrow. Absolutely. It's not as if they don't believe life isn't connected. It's that they don't live as if it is. They believe it. They just don't live as if it is. They're naive. I think about the people who are warned all the time about going through the low water crossings, especially over in Austin. When it floods over there, you can go right off down. There's creeks everywhere, Onion Creek, blah, 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 all over the place. And it's inevitable when there's a flood. You see on the news, they're dragging people out of those because they're going to go anyway. I'm going to go through it anyway. Now, they knew. Because there's the barrier there. They were told 100 times, don't cross. What's this? There's a saying. Turn around, don't drown. Thank you, Amanda. And that's true. But they say, it couldn't happen to me. You were like that when you were a teenager. Yeah. Teenagers don't be like us. Amen. So the primary difference between the prudent and the simple is not what they see, but how they respond to what they see. Amen. The simple see danger and keep it going. The prudent see danger and they change their course. The prudent act on what they see. The simple do not. The prudent act as if then is now. Now that's good right there. As if the future is present. This is what I want, so this is what I'll do. Big clue. Want a savings account? Save some money. It's not hard, is it? But see, I'll do it next week. I'll do it next year. Then you're 30, then you're 40, then you're 50, then you're 60, and then you're looking back going, I better hurry up and make some investments. I'm telling you guys that are in your 30s, save. Save it. I'm telling all you guys in your 90s, everybody, save. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not trying to tell you what to do. I'm using it as an example. Praise the Lord. You're going to do what you, as Elsie says, people do what they want to. The point of this message is, though, I'm giving you an instruction from the Lord that if you'll follow a path, then you'll see the solution on it. It'll be there. You just follow where God's leading you. Go, this is where I'm supposed to be. This is what I'm supposed to do. This is what will bring the change. And then you continue to walk that out, and you're going to be free and have exactly what you need to have. Now, the one thing about the simple making decisions is they then get that oh-so-predictable outcome that they don't like. And then they say this, why did God let this happen to me? And God didn't let it happen to him. He said he would show us the path of life. He said he'd show us where to cross and get across the lake or whatever. Or walk on the water, whatever it takes. He would show us the path. So we don't have to get distracted and go off the wrong way. He said he would show us. But why did God let this happen to me has nothing to do with the Bible. Because God will let everything happen to you. He gave you dominion on this earth. And so you have to choose to let him in. You have to choose to follow him. You have to choose to prosper. You have to choose to be in health. And when you do, he comes in like a flood and he'll do it. But you have to walk in faith. You have to use your faith. You're not in some kind of sarah thing where you might live by faith and it might go this way and might go that way. And you are not living a life where God is causing the problem to teach you lessons. God is your answer. He's not your problem. He doesn't use problems and child abuse to teach his children. Praise the Lord. Fear-based judgment will always be wrong. Lust-based judgment will always be wrong. I told you that. I'm telling you again. They move into victim mentality. They do all these things and then wonder. Some years ago, we shared ministry with someone who preached at the prisons. We all went. Ron had many of us on the prison team, which, by the way, is about to open back up. Sheriff called Deb, and it's going well. Now, when we would go with her, and I can remember me and Ron and Pauline and Virginia, Deb would be sitting there, and the person would say, now, the Lord put you here so he could help you. And we're all going, oh. Because the Lord didn't put anybody in prison. They did. They put themselves in prison. Now he's there to help get them out. He's there to, and they, maybe they're going to be in there for a little while till they get it. But they'll get it. Well, the Lord can certainly use that. That's what I just said. He could use it, but he's not putting you there.
Right.
Amen. All right, let's get on down the path. No pun intended. Praise the Lord. So here's how it works. A single woman says, I want to marry a great Christian man who really has his act together. But she continues to date whoever asks her out as long as he's cute. A single guy says, I want a great sex life when I get married, but he practices with every girl he dates along the way. A married woman says, I want to have a great relationship with my husband, but she makes the children a priority over him. A husband says, I want my kids to respect me as long as they're growing up with us, but then he flirts with every woman in the neighborhood. Well, that was quiet. Did we need a lesson? Hector, I guess you better. You say you want a deep relationship with God, so you get up every morning and read the newspaper. As Mario would say, ooh! I want to grow old to be a blessing to my grandchildren, but you neglect your health. We want our families, our children, to attend church, to serve God and have a personal relationship with God, but then you skip church every weekend for something else. Well, I wish my kids would serve God. Well, are you? Praise the Lord. Because they're going to do exactly what you do. Even your adult children will do what you do. Whatever they see you're doing, they're going to end up doing that. Well, mom raised us. You know, interesting, mom raised us in church, and here we are.
Amen.
Yeah, we broke away for a little while, but we came back. Mm-hmm. I believe there's a scripture about that. Amen. Hallelujah. Train up a child in the way that he'd go. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. But you see how the decisions are affecting year after year after year after year of the decisions that you isolate. You just saying, this doesn't matter. And then it does. It does matter. You will end up in a completely different place if you get on the right path about this. This isn't rocket science. It's really very easy. If you choose to do certain things, you arrive at one destination. If you choose to, we're going to drive to Austin tonight, but if I go down 281, I will go to San Antonio.
Yeah.
But if I take 71, I'm going to run right there to the airport.
Yeah.
Amen. That's how easy it is. Make the decision. But you'll have to then make the decision to stay on the road. You're going to have to stay on the road. And you're going to have to continue to go down this path and go where the Lord leads you. Amen. Just break that habit of drawing the circle around individual decisions. Amen. Now, I'm going to read you this verse, Psalm 25:12. Who then is this person that fears the Lord? He is the one whom the Lord will teach which path to choose. Isn't that good? Here's Psalm 25:13. He will enjoy good things in life, and his descendants will inherit the land. Here's 25:14. The Lord advises those who fear him. He reveals them the intent of his promise. He reveals to them the intent of his promise. So he's all about revealing to you which way to go. He knows the college you need to go to. He knows the man you'll marry. He knows the amount of money that you need to make over a lifetime. He knows the people that you would do best around.
Yeah.
Right alignment, right assignment. When you get around the right people, you'll start going the right way if you'll give them some of your time, of course. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. The one who worships and shows honor to God is the one that God reveals his path to. He'll show you. Lord, show me the way. I know you want to show me your way. You want to show me your way. I know you want to. And listen, here's something we can change right here. We'll say this. Now, Lord, I need you to lead and guide me. But what we should really say, I'm going to make the correction here. We should really say, Lord, I'm keen to your guidance. Yeah. Lord, I know you want to show me. It doesn't hurt that you say it, but you can't get that stuck in your mind. You need to be, Lord, I'm keen to your guidance. I know the way to go. I confess I am keen to your guidance. This is the way that we should go. Probably some of you who are in business, and certainly myself, there's lots of opportunity to hear lots of suggestions. But we have to go God's way. In your own personal life, you have to go God's way if you're going to end up in the right place. He has the perfect thing for you. I've seen so many people come to Victory, and their whole life changes within weeks. And I've seen them all of a sudden, you know, not need God then or not need us anymore. And then you see them weeks later, and it's like, well, things aren't too good. Could you pray for me? Why? They got off the path. I'm not just saying it's Victory, but I'm using this as an example. So, you know, it would behoove us to get rooted and planted and have success. It would behoove us to be in our right assignment, get in our right alignment, and we'll have our right assignment. If you want to go to Oz, get on the yellow brick road. If you want to know truth, go to church. Particularly one that teaches the truth. And believe me, there's a lot of people out there that won't teach you the truth. And I don't mind saying that. I believe that people will come to the truth. But I think a lot of people are just, coffee sermons, I guess, Mac. We need some meat.
Yes.
Not supposed to stay in milk. You don't need a salvation message every week. You're supposed to be doing that out there. You need to be equipped for signs and wonders and miracles. The gifts of the Spirit aren't for just the pastors and the apostles and the prophets. They're yours. They're for you to use. You should be operating in the supernatural. You should see your prayer answered. You're dealing with someone who needs healing or even being raised from the dead. There's power. I think about Pastor Ann, Pastor John. They came upon the man in the car wreck, and he was gone. He had passed. Pastor John reached down there and said, Lord, we thank you for his life, and we ask you to take care of this, bless the family, and I pray that he had a good life, and I pray that he was saved. And all of a sudden, here comes Ann like a ninja, and she jumps in the middle of that man and says, live in the name of Jesus. And that man popped right up.
That way.
See, it's a wonderful thing to bless people with things, but we're not really called to buy everybody a hearing aid and get them a wheelchair. We're called to make the lame walk and the deaf hear. And that's what we have to do. That's our life. We need to get up in the supernatural, up into the glory of God. That's who we are. That's who you are at school. That's who you are. That's who you are. You're supercharged. You have power. Those of you listening online, you have supernatural power, the anointing of God, the authority of God, the power of God on your life. Just take that path. Stop just looking at the natural. Look at the supernatural. He is in you and on you and wants to use you in this great awakening. We are going to see things change very shortly. I want to tell you something right now, those of you who are listening. This world is in transition right now, and we are in birth pains. And when you're going to have a baby, you can't back out. You can't go, oh, no, I'm not going to have a baby. Let me out of here. Now, I've seen a few of these girls try that, but it does not work. You're going to have the baby. And when we're in this transition, Things are going to move forward. This is a moed, that this is a season that we're in. But when birth pains come, they ease off. And we're about to, you're like, I don't know if I'm going to believe what you're about to say. Believe it. We're going into an ease. We are going to. We're going to win again. America will be great again. And the church of the living God better run and get it. And we better take everybody we can. We better get all the finance we can. We better get ready for it because it's coming. The prophets are not wrong, and they don't need to apologize. Maybe it's not happening in the time cycle that they thought it would, but it's going to happen. You can watch it. Jesus, listen, we're not rapturing tomorrow. He is coming, and it could be by next September or 8 years from there or another 8 years from there. I don't know. What I know is that God promised us a great awakening, and we're just getting started. And so we have to be ready to move. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Goodbye now.